Test 3. Listen carefully to the conversations and short passages and choose the best answer to each of the questions. 1.
She wants to apply for the job, but she is really not qualified, I'm afraid.
That's a pity. She seems so bright. Don't you think we could train her? Question. Why might the applicant receive on-the-job training? Two. Oh my goodness! I've spilled flour all over the kitchen floor, and my cake isn't ready for the oven yet.
I'll get the broom and dustpan and clean it up for you.
Question. What is the man going to do for the woman while she's getting the cake ready for the oven? 3.
Can you give me some information about the cost of a trip to Los Angeles?
I'm sorry, sir. I can't give you that information over the phone. The travel agent will be able to help you. Question. Where did the man want to go? 4. I've been around the whole store, but I couldn't find any 60-watt bulbs. Don't you carry them anymore?
Oh, they used to be on aisle 12, but we've moved them. Now you'll find them at the end of aisle 14, in the household goods section. They're underneath the toilet bowl cleanser.
Question. What does the woman want to buy? 5.
Look at the low prices on these used television sets. Something is fishy, don't you think so?
Well, there have been a lot of robberies recently. Some of the stolen goods may have landed here. Question. How do the people feel about the television sets? 6.
Are you really going to buy that painting? Where will you hang it?
Yes, I think it would brighten my living room wall. Don't you love the way the blues and greens blend? Question. Where does the woman plan to hang the painting? 7. Ron, could I borrow $50? I'll be happy to pay you back with interest at the end of next week.
You have a lot of nerve asking me to lend you money, after acting as if you didn't even know me at the reception last night.
Question. How did Ron respond? 8.
You needn't be so nasty about it. I simply forgot that you needed the car to get to the airport.
I think I have every right to get upset. You knew I was scheduled to give a speech at those meetings this afternoon. Question. What does the man think the woman is doing? 9. I wish Jane would call when she knows she'll be late. This is the third time we have had to wait for her.
I agree, but she does have to drive through very heavy traffic to get here.
Question. How does the man feel about waiting for Jane? Ten. What was that title again?
God is an Englishman. It's a very famous book. I'm sure you must have it.
Question. Where did this conversation most probably take place? Passage 1.
Mark Twain, who wrote the story we're going to read, traveled quite a lot, often because circumstances, usually financial circumstances, forced him to. He was born in Florida, Missouri in 1835 and moved to Hannibal, Missouri with his family when he was about 4 years old. Most people think he was born in Hannibal, but that isn't true. After his father died when he was about 12, Twain worked in Hannibal for a while and then left so he could earn more money. He worked for a while as a typesetter on various newspapers and then got a job as a river pilot on the Mississippi. Twain loved this job, and many of his books show it. The river job didn't last, however, because of the outbreak of the Civil War. Twain was in the Confederate Army for just 2 weeks, and then he and his whole company went west to get away from the war and the army. In Nevada and California, Twain prospected for silver and gold without much luck, but did succeed as a writer. Once that happened, Twain traveled around the country giving lectures and earning enough money to go to Europe. Twain didn't travel much the last 10 years of his life, and he didn't publish much either. Somehow, his travels, even when forced, inspired his writings. Like many other popular writers, Twain derived much of the materials for his writing from the wealth and diversity of his own personal experiences.
Questions 11 to 14 are based on the passage you have just heard. 11. The speaker focuses on which aspect of Mark Twain's life? Twelve. Where do most people think Twain was born? 13. Why did Twain go west? 14. What connection does the lecturer suggest between Twain's travels and his writings? 2.
In December 1903, two brothers, bicycle makers from Ohio, made the world's first successful flight in a heavier-than-air, motor-powered craft. Orville and Wilbur Wright had flown gliders for about 7 years to test wind resistance and the control of planes in flight. They built a homemade wind tunnel to try out their theories, and they built their plane knowing it could fly and that they could control it. They made a thin, light, double-winged plane of spruce, wire, and muslin along the lines of the gliders. The wingspan was 40 feet, with double wings and a double rudder. They attached a 12-horsepower engine with a chain transmission like that of a bicycle, driving two propellers in opposite directions. The first successful flight lasted 12 seconds. Lifting 12 feet off the ground and covering a distance of 120 feet. The achievement created little interest at first. No one realized then that this was one of history's important milestones and the beginning of aviation as we know it today, with its profound effect on people all over the world. After their successful flight, the Wrights gave up bicycle making and concentrated on airplanes. In 1909, the Army bought a plane from them. Not long after, commercial firms were established in France and Germany to manufacture Wright airplanes. One of the brothers died in 1912, but the other lived to see the dawn of the jet age and the beginning of the nuclear era. The latter accelerated by long-range aviation.
Questions 15 to 17 are based on the passage you have just heard. 15. What does the article tell about the first plane? What is said about the brothers' development of the plane? 17. What happened after the initial flight? Passage 3.
Good morning, students. I hope you have been able to read the two books about speech and hearing problems that I put in the library. Today's lecture deals with the presence of the unusually large deaf population that existed on the Massachusetts island of Martha's Vineyard for about 3 centuries. From the settlement of the island in the 1640s to the 20th century, the people there, who were descended from only 25 or 30 original families, married mainly other residents of the island. They formed a highly inbred group, producing an excellent example of the genetic patterns for the inheritance of deafness. Indeed, in the late 1800s, one out of every 25 people in one village on the island was born deaf, and the island as a whole had a deafness rate at least 17 times greater than that of the rest of the United States. Even Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, and a prominent investigator researching into hearing loss, visited Martha's Vineyard to study the population. But because the principles of genetics and inheritance were still unknown, he was not able to explain the patterns of deafness and why a deaf parent did not always have deaf children. In the 20th century, the local population has mixed with people off the island, and the rate of deafness has fallen.
Questions 18 to 20 are based on the passage you have just heard. 18. Where does this talk take place? 19. Why were so many people there deaf? 20. According to the talk, how has the island changed in the 20th century?